You're listening to Chapter and Verse, the teaching ministry of Muleshoe Fellowship with Steve Frisco. This message was recorded on May 1st, 2024, and is titled Concern. Grab your Bible, turn to the book of Colossians, and let's join Steve and the message.
I was telling Robin today, we had a little thing going yesterday, and anyhow, she's fine. Robin's fine. I just want to let the cat out of the bag a little bit. She spent the night in the hospital last night. We had a little episode yesterday, but she's doing really good. She's back home. She's resting because everybody knows staying at the hospital is not like staying at the Holiday Inn. They're going to come clean your room at 3, get you up for a shower at 5 because you got to have a test at 8. So anyhow, she's resting at the house. But she's doing good, and God was right in the middle of all that. And so I want to use that just a little bit, but I was driving in this evening, and it's just been nuts at our house leading up to Passover. Passover was 10 days ago. It seems like it was a month. I mean, holy moly, I think I wore out a set of tires on my pickup since Passover. Hadn't been to the cow sale in 2 weeks, and it's just been crazy. But the coolest part of that is how many times a day that I've needed to talk to Jesus about an issue, or he needed to talk to me about an issue. And anyhow, that thing that's been happening at our house, and I just want to testify to this, since we started taking communion together every day, or maybe not me and her together all the time. Sometimes we're apart, but try to about every day share, examine the blood, examine the bread, spirit-led prayer time over whatever we don't even know is coming, has brought us not only closer to each other, but so close to the Lord. And we got to talking about it today, because just in the last couple of days, just like last night, there's bad storms coming right towards Kelsey. They're hustling around to get things put away. And I'm talking to her on the phone right quick. And I said, in the name of Jesus, I just claim Psalms 91. And I just pray that everything that you own, everything that you possess, everything that's in covenant with God will be protected by the hand of the Almighty. And I just kept driving. And it went around. We just did it again a minute ago. So when I'm walking out of Lowe's, because when Robin wasn't feeling good, I took her to brunch, and that didn't work. So I took her to Lowe's, and she shopped for some flowers, and that didn't work. So I knew, dang it, she's not doing good. So we just in Lowe's parking lot, we just sat there, and I said, Jesus, would you touch her and heal her and make sure she's okay. Well, we went through the whole process. There were parts of this process that I couldn't see that God could see. So he sent a very special messenger. And last night was proof of what I've told you many times before. None of you got a phone call from me when my wife wasn't feeling good. One of you got a phone call from God. That's good enough for me. Because every syllable that came out of that person's mouth was absolutely relevant, absolutely necessary, absolutely from the throne room of grace, and absolutely healed my wife from everything you couldn't see. That happened right in front of my eyes. So we're driving home tonight, and the guy calls about a dream. So I do a lot of that for people, and he's studying, and he's telling me all the details, and I finally stopped him, and I said, would you like to know what that dream means? And while I'm driving down the highway, it rattles out of there clear as a bell. Makes absolute perfect sense. I'll be glad when he gets that all kind of recorded and figured out it's his deal, not mine. And when however he wants to share it, It's a very pertinent word for the church today, very pertinent word for where we are today. Probably not the funnest word we'd want to hear, but it's very relevant. And it all happened just like that. And when I got done, Robin sitting over there listening, and you can tell she's going, that was pretty good. That was God. The only reason for me to be here is that I'll keep reaching for another spot, and I'll keep encouraging you to do the same. Some days I lose the urge to preach, but I'll never lose my concern for you. So, as long as a man holds on to that, he'll be in the right place at the right time, saying the right thing every time. So when I say things like I'm done or blah, 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 no, I've just reached another spot. 20 years from now, I'll look back on this spot and go, dang, that was further down the ladder than I thought it was, you know. We'll reach for another spot. But the whole idea is for all of us, to mature in the Lord, to not remain a bunch of milk babies, to not remain dependent on someone else, to not need a Moses. He died and didn't get up. There's one mediator, Jesus. And for all of us to be encouraged to get to that spot. It's irrelevant to me how many people show up here on a Wednesday night. It's irrelevant to me how much money ends up in the bucket. The only thing that's relevant to me is that somebody in your household can hear God. As long as you got one person in your household that can hear God, and everybody else will at least kind of respect that, you stand a really good chance. If you got to wait and come here for me once a week, let me tell you right now, you're in trouble. If you think attending here once a week or tuning in that TV once a week is going to keep all the wheels on your wagon, you are in trouble. Please strive to get closer than that and to do it at home. Do these things at home. So 10 days seems like a month, but the testimony at our house since Passover of the healing that's happened in our family, the things that are happening in our family, that, I mean, come on, man, I'm the preacher. We should have done had our ducks in a, at least in a group. No, we're normal. We're normal, and the older you get, the more your family spreads out, and the more it kind of comes into play. The more you start to ignore stuff and just do something stupid like fake it till you make it. And through communion and self-examination, we're finding ourselves making phone calls, talking, being honest, crying together, praying together. Here's one for me. I've been listening. Man, I've listened a lot here in the last 10 days. I learned a lot. I learned a lot about the people around me by listening to the people around me instead of me always preaching at them. Maybe just listen a little. So however God from this point on tells us to come together, however he guides whatever we do, however that happens, I know one thing. It's out of his concern for us. And if I'll hold on to that same concern, do my part, if I can help you become an extension of that, guess what? Things get different. And that's the whole idea. Things should get different. So let's pray and we'll get the Murphs up here. Lord Jesus, we just thank you tonight and we give you praise. Lord, I just pray that our gathering together will just be honest, pure, intimate, Lord. I just want to be close. I never want to be far. Lord, just help us. Let your concern for us grow us, Lord, into men and women who just simply walk with you. Lord, I want to tell you, thank you again for, man, I've asked you for so much in the last few days, and you've delivered on every count. Everything, Lord, you've not failed. You've not made me question. You've not made me doubt or fear or worry in any part. So I'm very thankful for that, Lord. I hope tonight, Lord, you'll find me worthy of your presence. So, Lord, we just give you thanks tonight and praise Jesus. Amen. Man, that's good stuff right there, huh? How about a little praise offering for the Lord right quick? Thank you, Murphs. Just so you know, I learn something every time you sing. Y'all was here. Some of you were here that night. Some of you even remembered how he teaches in song and praising. You know, and Jim and I were talking about it earlier, and I'm going to sit down here tonight, but Jim and I were talking about it earlier. You know, I'm always talking about doing this stuff at the kitchen table. Go home, go home, go home, go home, go home. But the praising and the singing, you know, if I start singing around somebody, I feel like a weirdo. And the other half of that is I don't sing very good. Believe it or not, I used to could sing really good when I was a kid. My sister could really sing. I could sing pretty good. And then 40 years of squawking over the top of them horses, there's about two notes in here that are really close to each other. And if you veer off those two, it can get a little wonky. But that's just kind of how it is. But it has nothing to do with my ability to praise the Lord and my joy. And you were talking, Rhonda, about joy being a weapon. Have you ever been around a Debbie Downer that just wanted you to be there with them? Huh? And your joy just drove them nuts? Do you know what your joy will do to somebody like that? It will make them leave. They may not become joyful because you're joyful, but they will leave. Praise God. Either way, it's winner, winner, chicken dinner. Get one of them old negative Nellies over there up in your grill all the time and just let your joy be your strength and let that be your weapon. I was thinking about the message here tonight or the things we want to talk about tonight in Colossians 4. We're going to finish that up starting verse 7 tonight, and a very relevant word tonight. And all these words, listen to me real close now, all these words are for God's people. These words are not for anybody else. You want these words to apply to your life? You better make sure you're God's people, because that's who this is for. You know, when you make a business out of this, then you'll go ahead and include everybody. Truth of the matter is, I got one thing to do now. My concern right at the moment, yeah, I got a concern for the lost. And hopefully through our everyday lives, the lost come to a knowledge of the truth, or come to salvation and then come to a knowledge of the truth. You can't come to a knowledge of the truth until after you're saved. I don't know if y'all know that or not. But without the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the kingdom of God, explaining that's like trying to explain the color red to a blind guy. Once you've been indwelt with the Holy Spirit, now you can see too. Now you can learn and you can grow. We're God's people now. This word applies to us. And so I was thinking about all that they were talking about up here singing in David's tent. You know what County Road 1033 probably needs? A tent. If we had a spot where all of us neighbors, because we all visit different houses I don't have anything else to say about that. If you can't figure out your house, then it's not up to me. You figure it out. But I was just thinking about it out there today while I was putting out some hay when I got home, and I thought, man, I wonder if everybody knows on this road right here. All my friends and neighbors live right here. I wonder if everybody knows it, that you can just grab your wife's hand and just say about five words to Jesus and she'll be fine. I was just wondering if everybody on this road has any idea what God's been doing in my life for the last 48 hours. I wonder if anybody on this road knows what it means to have the joy of the Lord at the fullest capacity that you can have, because it's not interrupted by fear, anxiousness, worry, and doubt. See, all those things affect your joy. So I was just driving my tractor down the road with a bale of hay on it, and I was thinking about my neighborhood, and then you was up here singing Murph and talking about David's tent, and I thought, dang, we need a tent. You know what the tent does? It gives you a spot. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. Be careful. Because once you've created a spot, you may create an excuse. I've lived on that road now for 21 years. I've never had a Bible study on my porch. All we used to do some stuff around there close in the neighborhood when we first got started, but say in the last 15 years, 10 years, I've never invited everybody over to my house to just live on my road so I could tell them what Jesus has been doing in my life, or invite them over to my house and say, hey, why don't y'all come over and have communion with us this evening? Never done that. Murph, I have never stopped some of them guys on my road and say, hey, y'all want to come by tonight and sing? Y'all ever thought about that? I've invited them to this house. Why wouldn't I invite them to my house? You know why? Most of us don't think our house is worthy. We got to come to this house. This house is equipped with a guitar picker and a piano player. This house has a sound system. This house has nice chairs. It'll seat everybody that comes in. Everybody can leave and come and go in this house, and we don't have food with it anymore. Do you know y'all can come to this house once a week and nobody will question what you're thinking or what you're mumbling under your breath or what y'all say in your car to each other on your way home? Nobody will test drive you. Boy, invite your neighbors to your house someday and get all flavors. Go ahead and get the Church of Christ ones, get the Methodists, get the Heinz 57 that's done it all, get the Cowboy Methodists. Just get them all to come by. And then talk about the Bible and the kingdom of God. See, if those conversations don't get about two-thirds interested, I'll tell you what, see if you can go through a whole night and still be concerned about each other when you're done. Yeah, these are just a few thoughts I had tonight while I was putting out hay, looking at my neighborhood. You see, this is easy for me. And then I learned how to go home. And in the last 2 weeks, I've done some hard stuff at home. Things I felt like a real dad had to do, whether you liked it or not. So we did it. This is easy. If I ever do get the nudge or get a wild hair and I start calling my neighbors and say, hey, I'm going to cook some hamburgers this evening. Let's have a little neighborhood Bible study. I might just slap the First Church of Christ guy on the back because we won't have any instruments. Say, hey, won't you lead the singing? See how that goes, Rodney. We'll see how that goes. Because this word caused me to think about a lot of stuff. So when you get into verse 7 of chapter 4, Paul's writing these letters to the church of Colossae and different ones, and he says, Tychicus, a beloved brother, a faithful minister, and a fellow servant in the Lord, will tell you all the news about me. So this guy's coming, he's coming to town. But I love that description. So which part, if we were hanging out with Paul, you know, hanging out with Paul wasn't all that much fun. I mean, he went to prison a lot. He's in chains now. What would he say about a guy like me? Would he call me a beloved brother? A faithful minister? Faithful to what? Because I'll tell you something, up till now, I've fallen short. I've been faithful to show up here. I've been faithful to do what I felt like God was calling me to do. But I have not been concerned to the utmost level. I've done my duty. I've done what I felt was my best. But we'll read here in just a minute about one of these faithful brothers here that had a deep concern for the well-being of the children of God. How many of y'all ever had anybody in your life that just really wanted to really reject Jesus and you felt like they were rejecting you at the same time? And then something bad happened to you and you figured they got it coming. Here, let me do confession. I've heard them talk bad about Jesus. They got it coming. I lost my concern. I found it yesterday. I've got a longtime friend, and all me and hers had an off and on strained relationship because her dislike of Jesus and my love for Jesus, sometimes it's like oil and water when we get in the same bucket. But I know she likes me. Been friends a long time. She puts up with me pretty good. I'd kind of got where I was just kind of tired of the whole routine, so I hadn't made contact lately or anything. Whatever. Busy. Whatever. And the tornado hit over there the other day and tore a bunch of stuff up, neighbors, and I know all of them. And anyhow, last night driving in from the hospital, I was just doing some reconciling. Just felt like getting some things straight. So I called her on the phone. She said, well, and then she'll use a couple of adjectives that I don't use that much. She said, well, it didn't get in my house. And I said, praise the Lord. She didn't say nothing. Two or three more times as we were talking, I said, well, praise the Lord. I don't know that that's going to make her a believer, but somewhere in here I want her to know that I'm still concerned for her and her well-being, and my Lord and Savior is too. Somewhere in there. Somebody needs to know God cares. And if I get so dadgum self-righteous and so preachy, if I just turn into the grumpy old white guy, that ain't going to work. That's why I got to take communion every day. I don't got it, but I get to, because I get self-reflecting. This, doing this every 24 hours now, I mean, we're getting some snot jerked out of some stuff now. I mean, he's doing good and doing good with me. Because I want to, you see, these words of Paul are the words of the Lord. See, this word was inspired by the Holy Spirit, who is God. There's not a jot or a tittle on this page that didn't come from God. So if Paul wrote it, God said it. And he said, Tychicus is a beloved brother, faithful minister, fellow servant of the Lord. You see, the book of Acts was the beginning of the church, and it's the book in the Bible that has no amen at the end. It's a continuation of the works of God by the people of God, the working of God through the people of God. So the book is still being written. And I just wonder someday, in God's notes somewhere, would there be a chance that he'd say, hey, I'm going to send old Steve by there to talk to you a little bit and encourage you a little bit.
Well, that concludes this segment in our message. Come join us 7:30 Wednesday nights at 710 East American Boulevard in Muleshoe, Texas. Or on the web, www.muleshoefellowship.org. We're on YouTube as Muleshoe Fellowship. And for Steve and everyone at Muleshoe Fellowship, God bless.